It's time now for History Matters, taking a look back at this week in history with the one and only Scott Washington, historian extraordinaire, who joins us on the phone. How are you?
I'm doing good, Aaron, and I hope everyone is doing well there at WCHL. It seems like we're on this adventure trip, broadcasting internationally from different locations, somewhere located deep in the Amazon right now.
but that might not be a bad place to be right now. I think they're COVID free for the moment, aren't they?
Well, I see a lot of Amazon trucks running through neighborhoods, so maybe that's why I thought of it.
Fair, yeah.
But, this is such an interesting week because when you say, as we look back at this week in history, and I think, what are people going to be thinking, 20 years from now, looking back at this week in history and all the wild things that go on and saying, what's happening? And even I've heard that even there are historians and documentarians who are saying, please, folks, keep a record of what's going on in your lives so that we can have a record when we look back at these times in years to come, just like they did 100 years when there was another pandemic and people tried to figure out what was happening and how did people get through it.
Right, so at the very beginning of this pandemic, someone, and I'm gonna blank on who it was, sent me a link to some documents that were, it was Mia Burrows. I think it was Mia Burrows, former county commissioner, sent me a link to some documents in the UNC library, like the Wilson Library, and their online collection. And it was this fascinating, and it wasn't super long, but it was this fascinating summary of how Orange County had responded to the 1918 flu epidemic, as written in 1919 by someone who had just been through it. And it was actually a summary of how Orange County dealt with just the war in general. So the entire period from 1917 to 1918, like what folks did about that, but that included the pandemic. And it was fascinating to read. And it was also a nice bit of perspective that 100 years ago, yes, they were going through a lot of the same stuff that we were going through here, including, organizations kind of sprouting up out of nowhere of people who were making sure food got to the right people who needed it and making sure masks were being made and all of the cool things that we're seeing now in terms of people stepping up to help each other. Yep, we were doing the same thing 100 years ago, too.
Well, and I remember coming across a YouTube video that was made in 2008 by a health department that was interviewing a woman who was 100 years old at that time, talking about her experiences having lived as a child through the pandemic, which was just fascinating. Wow. So I want to make sure everybody lives as long as possible so that we can interview you.
Very long time before we have to deal with this again, ideally.
But, the important thing, and I know our news is swamped with, and rightly so, with really the kinds of all the different aspects of what's happening. It's important to remember that there are still birthdays and anniversaries and celebrations and milestones going on all the time. And that's happening every day. And it's something that we just need to be aware of, that life didn't stop. It just has continued in interesting ways. And when I think of looking at this week, one thing, it must have been something in the water about this week, but because it's just chock full of invention news. Mm-hmm. And one that just jumps out, and it happens on May 22nd, 1849. Now, I bet most people don't know that there is a president of the United States who has the distinction of being the only one who actually has a patent. And he filed it in 1849. And just to give you a little back, you're wondering, all right, who was the president then? Who could? No, he wasn't president at this point. His name was Abraham Lincoln. And he files a patent that's titled Improvement for Buoying Vessels Over Shoals. And this was because, and again, some of this backstory most people don't know. Actually, Lincoln worked on some of these ferry boats going down from Illinois and at one point Indiana down to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And there is one point when this was after this, is a little later on in 1848, and he's making a trip back. And there's two stories, one which was he's on a boat that actually runs aground, or the other one was he sees it happening and it inspires an idea. Basically, the boat ran aground, and so they took things off the boat, and then that gave enough buoyancy to lift it over the sandbar, and then they reloaded things, and it moved on down the river. Well, he comes up with an idea of, you know, there would be something so handy, because he had probably witnessed this before, and he actually comes up with an idea of having inflatable like bellows on either side of a boat, on the rear and the stern and the bow, on either side, that could be inflated to lift the boat up. Now, interestingly enough, and they actually have a model at the Smithsonian that had to accompany the patent application, and I've seen it, and I've seen the pictures of it. It's very interesting, not terribly practical, but the idea was a good one. But one thing that some of the commentators noticed was that it had a keel, and they said that was odd because flat-bottomed boats were the norm. But I didn't think it was so odd because I remember being up in Nantucket a few years ago, and they have historical reports of their harbor occasionally filling in with silt, and having to rescue boats, or how do we get these whaling boats in and out? And so that was not necessarily an impossible idea. And in fact, later on, pardon me, another commentator said, actually, this idea of buoyancy is actually used in some rescue operations or salvage operations when boats have sunk to the bottom and they use buoyancy to lift them up to the surface. So I don't know whether Lincoln was ahead of his time, but he certainly had a lot more dimension. And certainly it's interesting to note, not only did he go to New Orleans, which is kind of interesting, or he was well known for having skills on riverboats, but he thought systematically. And I think that's really interesting and says so much about, you know, the way he was wired. His mind looked at situations in a bigger context and said, gee, is there a way to solve a problem? And I think that's true of all the different kind of inventions. So he's one of them that kind of jumped out this week. This is also the week, same day, May 22nd, 1891, when Edison gives the first demonstration of his motion picture camera, the kinetoscope. And, you know, this is kind of amazing in 1891. But what's more interesting is that George Eastman and the Kodak Company has a role in that, because when Eastman was inventing his camera for public use and eventually switches from paper to some kind of a cellophane tape or negatives as we know it, you'll notice that if you recall negatives of those days, they have sprockets along the side. And this gives Edison the idea of, gee, if there are sprockets, then we could control how fast
they move.
That film would move through the camera, which would create motion pictures. And goodness knows, we've all enjoyed motion pictures during this unusual interlude we've been going through ourselves. All thanks to both George Eastman and Thomas Edison. But this is another, this is one of those weeks of, I feel like the Ginsu knife salesman again, when I say, here's another one. Bifocals are invented, supposedly May 23rd, 1785, by Ben Franklin, which is kind of interesting. Now, here's one that's a musical one, and I know that WCHL has been holding back. Should we play this music or not? Accordions. The patent for accordions.
Pushing everyone to just be nothing but Weird Al from start to finish, and no one's gone for my idea yet. But I feel like I'm breaking them down.
Good. Humor is as much a part of history as our lives. It helps us. It heals us. It's a good thing. But the accordion patent was granted to a fellow in Vienna, which was part of the Austrian Empire at that point, named Ciro Demian. So this is one of those ones. Saturday, May 23rd, you can play the accordion music. You've been wanting to play those polka music. It can come out of the closet because that's this is the week when that actually
and you can play with your bifocals as well. I want to go back to bifocals for a second because I knew Ben Franklin had invented bifocals. I did not realize that it was as late in his life as it was. 1785, he would have been like close to 80 years old when he was inventing bifocals. So he was not only a statesman but also just an active inventor and scientist all the way up until the end of his life, and I didn't know that.
That's right. Yeah, and this speaks about how people's minds are wired and the way they keep thinking throughout their lives. And we know the research shows that as long as you keep active, as long as you keep with your brain being active, it's a good thing. And certainly Ben Franklin is an excellent example of that, of keeping active, of asking different questions. And I think that's part of how these inventions come about, is because people said, what are we missing? Mm-hmm. And the fellow who wrote the Dune series, Frank Herbert, he was a futurist, and that was one thing that he would ask, what are we missing? And I think that's true with Ben Franklin and certainly President Lincoln before he was a president.
And often, often for better or worse, not just what are we missing, but what am I missing, right? I mean, Ben Franklin invents bifocals when he's 76, probably because he needs them, and Lincoln has his own experience of needing to buoy vessels over shoals and figures out a way to do it, and that's what leads to the invention, right?
That's right. Now, and here's another one that, you know, some of these are just the early date. I didn't realize how early that motion pictures, the first kind of motion picture camera is patented back in 1891. But here's another one, which is a fellow, it's his birthday this week, Emil Berliner, born in 1851, dies in 1929, who's a German-born American inventor, and he patented the first disc record player in 1887, the gramophone, which, you know, that's kind of an amazing thing to think about, given how much music is part of our lives and all the good music that WCHL plays, to realize there was a time when we had those records, those discs, and that WCHL in its history has gone through and seen the evolution from the phonographs to the records to finally digital, which is kind of amazing. And it all goes back to a fellow who thought, gee, I think I can record. And it was different than they were recording on spools. And that's another one. Here's just one that's not necessarily invention, but it's something that we probably know one name, but we don't remember the other. And that is same day, different years, May 21st, 1927 is when Charles Lindbergh begins his solo flight with the Spirit of St. Louis. It, you know, hangs in the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., and he arrives in Paris, leaves from New York, arrives in Paris. Well, 1932, same day, May 21st, is when Amelia Earhart arrives in Ireland after departing from Newfoundland the previous day. So that's a really, as I said, there's something in the water this week.
No, I think she did that on purpose. I think that was the fifth anniversary. She's like, I'm going to time it just right.
And then the weather worked out okay. Well, this is also a week. We talked a little bit about this woman last week, Jacqueline Cochran.
Yes.
And this is the week, May 18th, 1953, when she breaks the sound barrier at Rogers Dry Lake in California. She borrows a Canadian Air Force jet and supposedly breaks the sound barrier at a speed of over 650 miles an hour. But more than that, breaks the barrier that women were limited by anything. And she just kept breaking barriers like that. And those are people we all need to look up to. And we have them in our neighborhoods, we have them in our businesses, we have them all around, that keep breaking barriers, that keep expanding our conceptions of what it is to be a human being and what are the limits and the possibilities. I'm on a roll now, aren't I?
Now we're speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters. We got time for one more. What do you got?
Okay. This is the week, May 24th, 1923, when there's a Moore County woman who was born Louisa Smith, but she changes it to something more dramatic. Her name is Lula Vollmer, and her play on May 24th, 1923, called Sunup, premieres on Broadway. And it was their first and most successful drama. She gets over $40,000, a tremendous sum in that time, and donates these royalties back to the people of Appalachia that were depicted in the play. In fact, she was, when she went to New York, she becomes outside of Paul Green, who's probably most well-known from UNC and Chapel Hill, had more plays produced in New York than any other North Carolina dramatist. In fact, Grant Woods, famous for that American Gothic mm-hmm. painting, was a scene designer on one of her early works, which is like, who? And here's another one. There was a play that she wrote called Trigger, about this faith-healing woman, and a couple of men come and they're attracted, and it has all kind of interesting drama. Well, it becomes a movie in 1934 called Spitfire, with none other than Katharine Hepburn starring it.
Nice.
It was very popular with the audiences. So critics were like, you know, here she is, someone from New England, and the accent was all over the place. they were less than gentle with that, but the audiences liked it. So that's one of those kind of interesting things. Here's a woman who comes from different roots, who has that creative imagination, and that is what is getting us through these times. And I'm appreciative to WCHL for being that great voice of positivity and progress that we need, because creativity is at the heart of what makes us go and grow during these times, so that we can continue to have hope in hard times. And I hope that helps.
And that is History Matters for this week. As always, Scott Washington, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it.